You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
Here we go.
Are we not men?
We are the law.
Are we not men?
Walk on two legs.
We are Devo. Welcome everyone to Movie Sucktastic.
Hello, welcome.
I'm Scott, that's Joey, and today we'll be reviewing The Island of Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah, right.
That's what Holly calls it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, The Island of Dr. Moreau, the 1996 film by, Richard Stanley. I keep getting them mixed up with Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley?
But, so this is that 1996 adaptation, highly renowned as a bad film.
Oh, really bad.
And a box office disaster, and we're going to talk about it.
We are going to talk about it. Why can't I get this view right?
I don't know. I don't know what's wrong.
I don't right understand. There? I don't know. Your video isn't, isn't showing up on the screen.
Uh-oh.
Why me? That's all I can say. Just why me?
Now for those not in the know, The Island of Dr. Moreau is originally a novel by H.G. Wells. And it's about an island of,
Written in 1896, the book.
Yes. It's been adapted quite a few times in various forms. A couple of films, Island of Lost Souls, I forget the other one, and then 1996, they tried again.
They sure did. 100 years later, they tried again.
Now, I took the time to read the book before we did the review. I don't know if you've ever read it.
It was not one of the books that I've ever read.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't a book that we didn't have to read in high school.
All the books from that time period are written by like college professors, and they're all very dry, and they're all really obsessed with minutia and detail, and they can be really dull sometimes. I wouldn't say that of The Island of Dr. Moreau. It's not dull. It's actually quite short too. It's under 200 pages.
I didn't know it was that short.
Yeah, it's not especially long. It's not like a Mystery Island or anything like that. Mysterious Island? I forget. I remember reading one book where like the first 27 pages is like them figuring out how to make a sundial or something stupid like that. So you got to be kidding me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's just mind-numbing. Yeah, I get it. You're smart. Oh, move on. That's modern me talking. I'm dumbing it down. So the film was made by Richard Stanley. Now, did you ever watch the documentary Lost Souls, or was it Lost Soul?
I never did.
Okay.
I haven't. I tried, but I do know of it, and it's from the original director, Richard Stanley's point of view?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, interviews most of the people from the cast and crew, with exceptions of Val Kilmer, Marlon Brando, most of them, Frankenheimer, obviously those people didn't interview, but most of the cast and crew that were involved and were really there for the whole duration are interviewed. It's a decent documentary. I highly recommend it. I'm not now because there's a documentary out there that goes into great detail about it. I'm not going to try to rehash the whole thing. The big important thing to know is that Richard Stanley was a small independent director from South Africa, and the first two films he made were Hardware, which I know you're familiar with.
Love Hardware.
Yeah, great film, and which it's kind of like a South African Terminator.
Yeah, pretty much. I love Gwar is the music of the future. I just always love seeing that scene. She's flipping through channels and it's Gwar. It's like, how do you not love that?
You know, it's quality if Gwar is involved.
And, well, Richard Stanley was removed from the film because by New Line Cinema. I do know some of
4 days into production.
Yeah, he was removed from the film because of issues with the cast and just all kinds of problems. They had a hurricane or
when you say the cast, it specifically the problems he had was with Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Marlon Brando didn't want to learn his lines.
Val Kilmer was a bully.
Yeah. Val Kilmer was also a method actor, and he notoriously through his career was difficult to work with.
Mm-hmm. And he also was going through a divorce at the time.
Which I believe I read papers were served on set for that.
Yeah, he found out about the divorce like on television, like before the papers were even served. Like that's how he found out.
Yeah. You know, and it was so Val Kilmer. So just to talk about how difficult he was to work with. He did a movie. Do you remember that movie he did called The Saint? Okay. So that director, so apparently there was this whole thing about the right sweater, and he tried on so many different sweaters, turtlenecks, not with turtlenecks. It became a thing. Like, he was just that difficult. And the director was interviewed later on, and forgive me, I don't remember who directed it, but they said that if he was hired to direct Val Kilmer's life and Val Kilmer was still alive to play the part, he would have cast someone else. That's
how difficult. You know who said that?
What director?
That Frankenheimer, the one that took over Island of Dr. Moreau. He's the one that said that.
Wait, so Frankenheimer did The Saint? Or
he did Island of Dr. Moreau. I'm not familiar with if he did The Saint or not.
I thought it was the director of The Saint that said that.
No, it was Frankenheimer, Island of Dr. Moreau. It's in the documentary.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I love the irony that Stanley gets kicked off the set, kicked off the film, mostly because Val Kilmer pulls an attitude, and then Frankenheimer comes up, thinks he's going to act all big shot, and then Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando just drive him into the ground.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've seen some footage of I think Val Kilmer talking about Brando,
mm-hmm.
where he's just like. He's like on set, it's out, it's hot, and he's talking about how Brando is like, put him in the shade, give him a Coca-Cola or something like that. It's just like, and then Brando's daughter committed suicide during the filming of the movie, and he just kind of left and didn't come back for a while, and they didn't know when he was going to come back.
Yeah, this is one of those films that's just notorious for everything went wrong, and there were delays because of weather and flooding. And so, production was supposed to be
filming
like,
on an island.
Yeah, production was supposed to be like under a month. It ended up taking like 6 months or something like that.
Yeah,
it's people that are only supposed
similar to what happened. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. After you.
I was going to say it was similar to a lot of the issues they had on when they made the film The Lord of the Flies. The one that came out in the '90s. They had early '90s. So they had like this major storm that like. Totally decimated the island that they were filming on, and the project ended up being longer than it should have, and they actually used the decimation of this island from this storm to shoot a lot of the shots to try and show the hell that they're going through because it's Lord of the Flies. So it's always interesting when people are filming on location on these little islands out in the middle of nowhere, and then a storm comes in and goes fuck you.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. It's always crazy when that happens.
Yes. So the film was plagued. And like, so the film originally, it was when it was before they started injecting major stars into it, it was a low budget horror film, $8 million. But by the time they injected Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando into it, it skyrocketed to $40
million. Wow.
And everything was going crazy. So they shit-canned Richard Stanley after 4 days to bring in Frankenheimer. Frankenheimer has a bitch of a time trying to get anything done. The film is despised by everybody when it comes out. Now let's talk about what we thought of the film.
Yes, we are reviewing this 1996.
Now, is this your first viewing of the film, or had you seen it before?
Well, you know what? I've never watched it from beginning to end. I've always just caught it on TV at different parts, and I've seen the whole movie, just not all in one sitting. Because when I rewatch this, I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen this part. Oh yeah, I've seen this part too. Oh yeah, I've even seen this part. And then the ending, I'm like, well, I didn't see the ending. That was one of the only things that I didn't see. But I, for the most part, I've seen this whole movie, just not in one sitting.
It was a revisit for you then.
It was a revisit, but I have seen enough of this where it wasn't a brand new film for me.
No major surprises. It's just catching up.
No major surprises. Yeah.
So, like the basic story is this Limey is shipwrecked.
The United Nations, or he came from the United Nations, and his plane goes down.
He was on a ship.
Yeah. And Val Kilmer intercepts him and brings him to the island. Val Kilmer could have very well have just gotten him off the island, but they wanted to keep him around because they figured they could use him.
Right. So he's stranded on this island with Val Kilmer, Montgomery, and then Dr. Moreau, who's played by Brando, and all these other weird, eventually that he finds, half human, half animals.
Yeah. And Brando is... he is their quote unquote father. They refer to him as father.
The godfather.
The godfather, sure. That's one way to put it.
They're playing like he's playing God, that kind of thing. That's that.
I mean, it was kind of not too far of a departure of his role in Apocalypse Now. It was kind of felt similar in a few ways.
It's funny you say that, because H.G. Wells accused Joseph Conrad of stealing the concept for Heart of Darkness, the book that the film's based on, from Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, a little trivia there for you. So it ironically just comes back around again.
It kind of always does, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't recognize history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah. So, what was his name again? Not Montgomery. Because it was a different name. In the book, the guy's name is Edward Prendick.
Okay.
But, yeah, so in this one, it's actually Edward Douglas. More a blander name.
Why'd they even bother changing that?
Instead of Prendick?
Prendick. No.
I would have changed it too.
Yeah, I guess so. If you just say that last name a few times, it's like... Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. You don't want to be bothered with Prendick. Yeah. But they kept Montgomery, they kept Moreau, they kept that. The lead animals, the hyena man and the leopard man, right. those are from the book too. So they're actually carried over. But those are the main characters. Obviously, there was a menagerie in the book as well as there was in the movie. But basically, after he finds out what's going on with Moreau, and he finds and they set up this, he is shown their basic social structure, as it were, and then everything falls to shit.
Yeah, and initially this film was it was to be rated R. This was going to be an R-rated film.
It was supposed to be a horror film.
Yeah, and they cut it down to a PG-13 because now that I know what the budget is, the budget obviously ballooned, and they needed to try and make some of that money back. I don't believe they were successful. I think it was a huge box office flop.
Tremendous, yes.
Yeah, let me see.
Richard Stanley didn't work again until he did Color Out of Space in... like,
oh, really?
A short while ago. Yeah, that was his big comeback.
So the budget was $40 million, and it made $49 million worldwide. So, I mean, I don't know if that's print and advertising in that $40 million budget, but
probably not.
Probably not. So it probably took a loss. If not, yeah, then it basically made just a little bit of money, $9 million.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge blow for New Line Cinema.
Yeah, which that was a newer entity of Warner Brothers at the time, I believe.
They were like riding high on the last two or three films they'd had success with, yeah. And they weren't releasing huge budget films. Plan was like Freddy. It was supposed to be just a horror film, you know, the make some cash on. And so, I mean, the film itself.
Now, did you watch the director's cut like I did?
I'm not sure. What's in the director's cut?
I don't know. But that's the difference in films is, I believe, the theatrical is like an hour and 36 minutes, and the director's cut is an hour and 40.
Okay. So, I've definitely watched the director's cut. There's no way I have a theatrical cut of that.
And, well, I don't even know if they're offering the theatrical cut. But
yeah, film like this.
That's the one that I have, and I don't know if it didn't look like they used scenes and tried to restore them. It looked like it was a final finished cut of the movie. So right. I have a feeling that maybe it was edited a little differently for pacing and maybe a few scenes added back in. I don't know. I don't know. But
yeah, interesting
film, to say the least. I mean, just for the science experiment that it kind of was in filmmaking.
Yeah, there's several differences between the book and the film. Obviously, I'm not going to go into minute detail, but the main thing that I find interesting is that in the original book, Dr. Moreau creates these monstrosities through the art of vivisection. He like cuts them open and he transplants parts from one animal to another, and he molds them into human-like creatures. It's a very excruciating, torturous process. Even in the film, they keep the House of Pain. Have you forgotten the House of Pain? You know, they're all afraid of the because that's where he does all the experimentation. So in the film, since they update it, it's genetic manipulation, which is less nefarious and makes him more of a lab rat. And so it takes away that kind of that evil level of Moreau. That's the really big difference I saw in the Moreau character, is that Moreau was like so cold-hearted and just scientific and just a cold god scientist, whereas Marlon Brando plays it like this buffoon.
Yeah.
Did you read about the dolphin? Did you hear about, you know about the dolphin?
No, I don't think so. Yeah,
He started forming this theory of his own that he the reason he decided to wear an ice bucket is because Moreau had actually experimented on himself, and he was actually part dolphin, and so he was covering a blowhole. This is the kind of nonsense that he would get up to on set. Oh, he just God. Was not invested in anything, and you can tell on the it's. The hero worship, every other person you hear in this film, like Val Kilmer, Frankenheimer, all of them, it was like the reason they go and made this film is that I wanted the work of Brando. and all you hear is how horrible he is to work with. It's this hero worship in the industry that like destroys universes. It's just the most insane thing that everybody just drops to their knees every time one of these old filmmakers like does or says anything. Meanwhile, they just, you know, yeah, Frankenheimer's a genius, yeah, but no one mentions Reindeer Games, which he also directed.
I really like that one too.
I did too, but everybody thinks it's a piece of shit. So again, you're going to praise Frankenheimer? You know, stop praising all these people. Stop praising Brando like he's come to earth a little. That's all.
Well, you know, listen. Any actor's actor. Who do you want to work with? I want to work with Brando. I want to work with Jack Nicholson. You know, I want to work with Coppola. I want to work with Spielberg. You know, they want to work with all of these people.
And then they work with them. They find out they're pricks.
Yeah, well,
that's what happened to Frankenheimer. That's what happened to Frankenheimer and Brando. I mean, everybody on set, you know, like said, after 3 days, he was a complete asshole. And then Brando obviously, you know, gave him shit. So there's your God. How's your God now? It's just funny when you hear about that stuff. And meanwhile, everybody else is and just like, we're just trying to make a film. Can we make a film?
Trying to make this thing.
Yeah. I feel like changing it to the genetics and putting it in modern day, it really changes it to just the God story, like, you know, manipulating genes and all that. And it takes away a level of nefariousness for me, having read the book.
Now, is it true, because I've never read the book, that the book was, you know, the book was written in 1896, but it takes place in 2010?
No.
Thought I read that somewhere.
No.
That the book
no.
took place in 2010.
No, not that I. No, I'm pretty sure that's no.
I could swear.
It takes place in modern. Takes place modern day. I mean, modern day then 1890. You know.
It takes place for them. Really?
Yeah, it takes place modern day for them.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Maybe the Plex synopsis is what said 2010.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Yeah. The Plex synopsis says, set in the year 2010, Dr. Moreau has successfully combined human and animal DNA to make crossbreed
animal. You're talking about the movie. I'm talking about the book.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I didn't know if the book said in the year 2010, because it's like, you know, over 100 years into the future, H.G. Wells, it maybe said in the book, it's like, yeah, it's 100 years in the future. Maybe science has achieved this type of cross DNA.
You're confusing the hell out of me, because not only does the book not have it like in the future, the movie doesn't take place in 2010.
Well, then
the movie
takes place modern day, 1996. Whoever wrote the Plex synopsis just says the first sentence is set in the year 2010.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's the only reason I'm bringing it up, because I know you read the book, and I didn't know if the book storyline was set, you know, like 100 years or more in the future.
No.
Okay.
So, one difference that also exists in every other film version of it is that there is no cat lady.
Oh.
See, H.G. Wells, as wacky as he was, probably didn't think that, like, sexing a half human, half animal was a good idea. But for some reason, like, I own a lot, all of them, all of these films, including this one, they got to put a feline in there. It's like a level of like bestiality that I'm not comfortable with.
I agree.
And for the character, for Douglas, who shrinks like Ginty in fucking, remember that Executioner, whenever he's walking through the city and people are touching him, he's like this.
Oh yeah.
Like he every time one of these man creatures comes close to him, he shrinks like he's looking at a pile of shit. Yet he's attracted to the cat woman. He's smart enough to know that she's part cat.
Hey,
she's got six nipples. I'm telling you,
she looks normal, normal-ish.
Yeah, she wasn't intended to be. Richard Stanley wanted a scene where he was like, you know, like kissing her nipples, and he'd go down and find out there were more.
Really? That's what he said? Yeah.
That's what that was supposed to be. Yeah, well, what we see has nothing to do with Richard Stanley's vision. This is when Frankenheimer took over and rewrote, everything was rewritten. What Richard Stanley wanted to do was dark. He wanted it more nihilistic. It would have been a darker film.
Wow.
It definitely would have. It wouldn't, yeah. Marlon Brando wouldn't have been pulling the shit that he was pulling. I mean, if they just shouldn't have put, you know, it's just, I feel like it's the same thing that happened to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. They just get these small-time, they give these small-time directors their big break, and then they just fucking crush them. Big yeah, break, true. Fuck you. Yeah, it's horrible.
Poor
it's
a Steve
horrible,
Norrington.
Horrible industry.
Poor Steve Norrington.
Yeah, poor Richard Stanley.
You know.
Although, Richard Stanley's got like he's got like 10% like Alan Moore nonsense going on with like witchcraft and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So okay. A little right. wary.
Right.
Yeah, just a red flag here and there, but still, one of the things I really like from the documentary is when they talk about how he was kicked off of set.
Right.
And the studios were afraid that he was going to sabotage the film, but he disappeared and they didn't know where he was. And what he actually ended up sneaking back on set and garbing up as one of the animals.
Oh, really?
And he was an extra for the rest of the film.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So he's just watching just the debacle, the crazy. He's like,
yeah,
man, I'm glad I'm not a part of this shit anymore.
Yeah, he was like, I want to see what they're doing to my film. And they're like, we'll sneak you in and we'll put the mask on you. And so you can see him in the film. He's like one of the pig masks.
Oh, real?
In the background. Yeah. That's hilarious. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the documentary is great. The documentary is 10 times more entertaining than the film.
Well, I imagine it is.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't care for, what's the actor's name? I got like 8 screens open here. The actor that plays Edward Douglas.
Richard Thewlis, I believe.
Thewlis, yeah. Not a fan of him in this film. I like him.
I like him as an actor. I've seen him in a bunch of things. He was in Wonder Woman. He's been in a few BBC shows. He was in one of the seasons of Fargo, which was excellent. I think it was season mm-hmm. 2 or 3. Three. Mm-hmm. I think it was season 3. Excellent.
Maybe I had more of a problem with how the character's written, because that character does stuff that really makes no sense at the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Val Kilmer, I actually like what Val Kilmer did with the character. As much as he was a dick on set, I like the way he took Montgomery. It was a different path.
He had that
from the
Val
book.
Kilmer flair that you're expecting to get from Val Kilmer in a movie.
Yeah, now when he starts doing the Marlon Brando impression, now we've crossed the line.
I never saw that scene before, and when he did that, I'm like, holy shit. How did that actually get past post-production? How is that not shot 10 different ways and just something else was used? They used his Marlon Brando impression. Yeah. How about where's my potty? Where's my potty? It's like, oh my God.
I want to go to dog heaven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they sent him there.
Maybe it's because how that character was written. And that was Val Kilmer was maybe. Originally supposed to play that part, I think. But then they changed it because he couldn't devote as much time. Because of the divorce and stuff.
No, I believe Bruce Willis was supposed to play the Val Kilmer.
Oh,
part.
I mean, before Val Kilmer was involved.
No, I believe Bruce Willis was supposed to play Val Kilmer part, but then he was getting a divorce from Demi Moore, so he couldn't do it. And then that's when they cast Val Kilmer.
You know, that documentary Lost Soul goes through all of that. It's really good. It really shows the progression. I mean, Richard Stanley's the main person in it, and he like explains the origin of the story and how he went through trying to develop it and all. Very interesting. But again, just another great debacle.
Love those. Know? Like the bonfire another thing, of the vanities.
another thing that was different in the book than the film, which I kind of understand, but on the other hand, I don't, is that in the book, it's really just Montgomery, Moreau, and Prendick. And Moreau bites it halfway through.
Yeah.
Whereas they kind of leave it towards the end of the second act in this. So the book's only halfway over when it becomes just Prendick and the animals. But this one, they kind of just move them around a bit and save it for the end. And then that whole thing at the end, they threw him that, he was going to use me to fix your genetic. How? How is he going to do that couldn't do with any other person? It just seemed like
something they threw in there.
It's some pointless melodrama they throw in, so you feel like there's a romance here before they kill the chick. You know, even just playing at a romance between him and the half cat creature. I'm sorry if it sounds prudish, but I find it horrifying.
Hey,
that's me.
Hey,
now so I mean, it is a bad film.
It is.
Also, I'm not a fan of the makeup. Like the creature design?
Yeah, it wasn't.
I don't know.
It wasn't good. Let's see. Who did the makeup? Is it like, I don't believe it's like a Rob Bottin or...
No. I forget the name of the... I forget the people that did it. It's not anybody famous.
Makeup department. Yeah, no, there's nobody...
I wasn't overly... Oh.
What? It was Stan Winston.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Stan Winston is like the guy. I mean, he's my James bad. Cameron's guy.
I forgot that part. My bad.
Oops. Poor Stan.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you could... The problem is it's one of these things where you can't adapt it to modern times. It doesn't work. It's like trying to do Doc Savage and modernizing it. You can't do it. It existed in this time period, and that's the only way it worked. Right. I honestly feel like if you're going to do Dr. Moreau, you have to do it in that time period. You can't modernize it. You can't do it modern day.
No, that's true.
You can't do it modern day and try to stay faithful to the book in any sense. All you could do is use it as like a leaping board and go off. If the film had modernized it but didn't try to stay faithful to the book, perhaps it would have had a better chance. But I just feel like it's one of those things. That's why you haven't seen one since. I mean, again, the concepts used, but not the actual framework of the novel, because it's one of those stuffy 1980s, 1890s scientific texts that it's a good read, but it doesn't translate well to film. It's a different medium.
Oh, it's David Thewlis. I said Richard.
Oh,
but I knew the last name was Thewlis.
Yeah. Speaking of Prendick, Thewlis.
So there is footage in the Val Kilmer documentary. Val Kilmer does show footage of this movie from Val Kilmer's point of view and the issues that he was having with the director. And he, like David Thewlis is, you know, Val Kilmer filmed everything. So Val Kilmer is filming David Thewlis and he's talking about how they were promised, you know, this and this and this and how, you know, have they come through with that? Because it was so, yeah. So Val Kilmer showed a bunch of footage from this movie in his documentary. And I understand where he's coming from in his documentary. The whole thing was just a shit show.
I read that one of the reasons Val Kilmer was filming everything is because he wanted to get evidence on tape of Frankenheimer yelling at him. And that Frankenheimer would get pissed because he couldn't yell at him when the camera was on.
Well, I do know that in the Val Kilmer documentary, the footage that he shows, Frankenheimer tells him to turn the camera off. And Val Kilmer is like, I will not be turning the camera off.
That's why.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, this is one of these films that the making of is more entertaining than the actual film, and it's sad, but it's because again, when you take one director's vision and then you just it becomes a money matter and you just shovel it off on someone else who doesn't give a shit. I mean, the only reason he gave a shit was the work of Brando. He had no respect for the material. So by the time you get to the end of the film, the only people that give a shit about the film are the people that have no control over it.
That is true. It's always way.
It's a shitty thing to see. It's a sad thing to see. It's really the film's sad because of the it is what it is because of the system. That's all.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't have anything else to say about that.
I don't think I do either. I mean, this is a terrible film. This is one of those movies that we probably should have reviewed a long, long time ago.
You know? Possibly.
You know, because this is as far as like the bad movie pyramid, as you get closer to the top, you're getting, you know, worse and worse. It's like Ballistic X vs. Sever is up near the top of that.
All right. Well, if we're calling it a pyramid, that's right. If it was iceberg, it'd be further down, but it's the pyramid, not an iceberg. It's
pyramid, yes.
Right.
So yeah. I'm just saying, this certainly isn't the worst movie I've ever seen, but it is up there.
You can see the promise of what it could have been, and then you see Marlon Brando.
Right.
You know, like what the fuck is going on? You know.
So it's rated
when you're upstaging the half mutant creatures, there's a problem.
That's right. So it's Sorry. it's rated 4.6 on IMDb.
Oh, I'm not even there. I got yeah. Give me a sec. I'll catch up.
What are you thinking?
Oh, well, it's definitely no higher than a 5.
Correct. 5 would make it an average movie, and I can be talked into a 5 because for as bad as it is, there were like Val Kilmer. His performance is pretty decent in most of the film. I know you didn't like David Thewlis. I like David Thewlis in some of his scenes. And
like I said,
the Brando stuff made me laugh.
my issues with Thewlis may have to do more with the writing than with his acting. Right. You know, I think he was put in positions where he could only do so much. So I'll take
but
that.
I'm absolutely okay with a 4 on this.
You know, I've been reading a lot of stuff on Letterboxd and trying to catch up on my old films and trying to get us kind of a system going where I'm not just going higgledy piggledy. And I feel like I rate higher than normal. I think I play nice too much where I'm like, oh well, you know, it wasn't that. So I think I have to be a little harsh on Island of Dr. Moreau, and I have to say 4.
4? I'm okay with a 4. I'm good with a 4.
I think it deserves a 4. I don't think it obviously doesn't toe the line of average. It's definitely below par, it's a shame that it is because people put a lot of energy into it. I think 4.
4 it is.
I'll rate it. It's official. It's on the board.
All right.
And you can find our ratings on IMDb. Look under Movie Sucktastic. like anybody cares. I don't know.
Some people care. I care.
Have you forgotten the House of Pain?
The House of Pain.
Sorry. All right.
Tell them am a god.
You are a god.
God.
When someone asks you if you're a god, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. Everybody knows.
What did you do, Ray?
There's your crossover.
Right.
So
what did you do?
Are we going to...
Yes, we are going to
spin
the
wheel for the next. Nice.
We absolutely are going to spin the wheel.
I made some minor updates to the list if you want to get the latest version.
Oh, let me go grab it real quick then.
I just took off a couple things we've already reviewed, added a couple things. Just try to keep it moving.
All right, let me go grab Let's go grab shared with me. Wait a minute, that's not right. Now, there it is. Wheel of Suck. You took some stuff off?
Just the stuff we've already watched.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you add anything new?
A couple things. I don't remember what. Okay. But every now and then I look at my collection, or I look at, like, you know, what I'm watching or what I'm reading about, and then
Yeah, as long as you added something new, I'll put the new wheel on. Otherwise, if it hits something we reviewed, I would just... It's fine.
Yeah, I updated it a bit.
Okay.
We didn't even talk about the little guy.
Oh, he has what's that disease? Perugia. I think that's the disease.
I think that's the country he's from.
No, okay. All right.
Yeah, that little guy was a terror on set.
Was he really? Like for real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's stories about him.
Oh wow. No kidding.
Living large. Where are we?
I am just putting... I don't know. Why is this not working all of a sudden?
Oh, no. We've hit a snag. Everything comes to a grinding halt.
Oh, did they make a change to this? They're giving me like an access code to like make a change.
Uh-oh.
I know this is great radio, so.
Well, it's not radio.
It's internet radio.
I don't... Well,
I'm only going to play with this for like another like 30 seconds or so, and then I'm going to just spin the wheel that we have.
Yeah, just spin it. Just spin it. Don't worry about it. We'll update it next time. I'm sorry I even thought of it.
I didn't know. Did not know.
No. What?
Yeah, this thing is like, yeah. It's a real pain in the ass. Oh, it has buy full version now? Like, this was a free little thing that we had, and now I guess somehow it's popular, and now they're like, no, you need to pay for it to get all the extra features. Yeah, because remember, I can't get it on the screen anymore. It's like doing something stupid with that.
That must be part of it.
Yeah, that must be. All right, we're going to spin it, though. You ready?
Okay, yep.
All right, let's do it. Now, everyone, remember, Scott and I get one veto each, and then we're forced to review whatever pushes out.
Over 250 items on the wheel.
All right, I'm already vetoing this. I'm not reviewing Gone with the Wind. I'm sorry. It's not fucking happening.
Okay.
All right. Like, Scott and I, we have a conversation. Like, I don't have time to fucking watch a 4.5-hour movie, let alone review the fucking thing. For me to get this film in this week was really fucking difficult. So, no.
It's like a history lesson.
I feel like I shouldn't even have to waste a veto on this. Oh, my God.
All right,
God.
Go ahead.
All right, we're going to do it one more time. All right, let's see. What do we got? Big money. No whammies. Oh, come on.
What?
It's the Atlas Shrugged Trilogy? I don't have time. Now I got to watch 3 movies? I don't have time for that either.
No. I already reviewed Atlas Shrugged on the show, so we would have to review Atlas Shrugged Part 2.
Oh, fucking hell. Veto,
I'm vetoing that one.
Okay. All right. So now, all right, everybody, we've each used a veto. So now we spend one more time. We have to review whatever it is. We have to. So that's the way that'll work. Unless it's something that we've already reviewed, then we'll spin again. All right, last spin. Here we go. Oh, man. Spinning and spinning. What do we got? Starting to slow down. The Cube franchise. Why are we hitting all these fucking franchises?
That's a good thing.
No, I know. I mean, here's the thing. I love the first movie. We've never reviewed the first movie. And,
no.
All right. I'm good with the first. I guess we'll start with the first movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll review Cube. Do a nice deep dive.
I like that. I really like that movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Cube. Only took 3
tries. Nice I haven't seen that in like decades. It'd be nice to revisit it.
Yeah. All right. Cube it is. Very nice.
And not Atlas Shrugged Part 2.
Oh, or Gone with the Fucking Wind. Jesus Christ.
Which I've seen now. Holly made me watch it.
Mayor watches it every year around.
Oh, that I
do. I think at Thanksgiving. I think at Thanksgiving. So we'll be either here for Thanksgiving or we'll be in my sister-in-law's house. And my sister-in-law is a huge fan of Gone with the Wind. So when the two of them get together and it's Thanksgiving, and the tryptophan is kicking in, I'm like, are we really fucking watching Gone with the Goddamn Wind? As God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again. Are we really doing this?
You can tell her I said that most normal families watch Mighty Joe Young on Thanksgiving.
Well, they're trying Mighty Joe Young, really? They're trying to set a new tradition where they show Jurassic Park every Thanksgiving now.
No, I'm out.
So they're trying to do that. They've been doing that for, God, it feels like they've been doing it for 20 years.
Tell them we already have Bad Movie Night. They can't steal that idea from us. Jurassic Park. Okay.
Yeah. So apparently that's a thing on Thanksgiving. So.
Is that our new modern classic? God help us.
I mean, it is over 30 years old.
Good.
Good. Okay. Whatever the fuck that means. Good. Like, fuck that. Good. It's over 30 years old. Fucking A right. Fuck that shit. Good.
I've grown the beard. I got to get the attitude to go with the beard.
There you go. I think you're doing a fine job. Good. You make me laugh. It could be just I'm so tired. I'm delirious. I got 4 hours of sleep yesterday. It's great.
All right, we should wrap up then.
We should do that. Good. Oh, my God. Yeah, let me cue up our exiting music. All right, everybody. As always, thank you for joining us again for another episode of Movie Sucktastic, episode 446. You can go to our newly designed website at moviesucktastic.com. I might be changing host providers. I don't know. Not that everyone needs to hear that, but I might. Who knows? You can go to our website. You can listen to the show. You can download the show. That's a biggie. And it's mobile enabled, which is great. So you can go on your mobile devices and you can go to our website and you can listen to it right from your phone, right from the website. I totally designed this from the ground up. So I'm very happy with it. And I think you will be too. So you can listen to the show. You can download the show. You can click on the YouTube links and you go watch this episode that we've recorded on YouTube. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we're posting there. If you want to email us, our email address is themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. If you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. Scott has a letterbox site for us. You can go check that out at letterbox.com/moviesucktastic. And and you can download the podcast app. So you can go to moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or you can download your favorite podcast player for your device. Just do a search for Movie Sucktastic, and every single episode is there. We are also now on Spotify, which is really nice. Did I tell you that I had to got like 8 episodes with copyright infringement for music? Yeah.
Yeah, I've had to deal with those on YouTube, Mr. DJ.
But the thing is, it's like on iTunes, I haven't gotten any copyright issues. It's not like we play the whole song. It's intro, outro music on some stuff, and it fades out. So when I did the copyright thing, I said it's for parody and review purposes, and I just submitted it. And that was like 2 months ago. They never got back to me. So I'm assuming those episodes were not taken down. Because if they were, they would have got back to me.
That's true.
So, I think we're good. I think we are. So, anyway, we're on Spotify, which is great.
Yeah.
That was a biggie, being able to get on there. So, anyway, do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Have you forgotten the House of Pain?
I am the god now.
You are the god.
It is the law.
Are we not men?
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review Cube. Bye-bye.
Kubi.
Kubi.